Are you enjoying the Lord's presence this morning? Is there a real sense of victory in this house this morning? Why would they sing a song like that on a day like today? It's got nothing to do with the crucifixion, has it? But it's got everything to do with the crucifixion. Because what should our natural response be to the fact that Jesus Christ died for us? It's got to be worship. Amen? Amen. Our whole life, a song for Him. So that's awesome. I was blessed. Right, I'm not going to do an introduction at all. Like I say, I've got quite a long message which I'm going to shorten. And we'll trust that the Lord will give us what He wants us to hear this morning from the Scripture. And then, Glenn, I just want you to remind me at the end of the service, okay, that I don't forget. We've still got something else to do. Right, Matthew 28, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28. Lord, I thank You that at this stage You brought us to the place where Your Word comes. I pray that it will touch hearts and challenge us, that it will comfort us, that it will give us reason to carry on living for You. Stir us up in the Spirit. Let Your anointing fall in this house for every ear to be open, and our hearts and our spirits receptive. And every bit of darkness or the enemy trying to rob the Word, let it not come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, Matthew 28 verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you." The woman ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, so they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get into trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. And I still believe that today there are some Jews who still believe that story, that the body was stolen and nothing happened, the Messiah must still come. So that was the account of the very first Resurrection Sunday. And a lot of people like to call today Easter Sunday. Well, Easter is actually the name of a pagan goddess, the goddess of fertility. The whole Easter egg thing and buns and all sorts of stuff represents that. But we're not here to talk about the bunny and the buns and the pagan goddesses. We're here to talk about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of all creation, who was resurrected on the Sunday morning early. So we'll call it Resurrection Sunday. Is that okay? And I want to speak to you about that very first Resurrection Sunday. There were four things that happened that took place on that morning. The first one was that the woman went to visit the tomb. And Shirley was praying earlier on and she said, "Do you know that she was actually praying about it, but it was the second time I heard it this morning, Shirley. The women were the first evangelists or the first ones to spread the gospel. They went and said, "Do you know that Jesus is risen?" Isn't that exciting? Aren't you excited about that, ladies? You've got a role to play. You think it's not your job to tell others that Jesus is risen. It is. But men, we need to take the lead. We need to set the example. Jesus was a man. He was the first one. Hallelujah. What were their motives for coming to the tomb? They might have come downhearted, dejected. They were let down. They were disappointed. They were depressed. The one that they called Messiah had died. They came to pay him the last respects. And they did three things, these ladies. Now some of the Gospels report that Mary went, and others record and more ladies going. Doesn't really matter. But these ladies went to do three things. They came to look. The first thing they did is they came to look. They wanted to come and make sure everything was okay. They wanted to come and look and see the tomb where Jesus was buried. They may have had other reasons for coming, but they wanted to come and see. Maybe they came out of absolute shock, and you know, when an accident happens, people go and stand in the corner and watch what's going on. But they came to look, to see what was going on. The second thing they came to do was to labor. Some of them brought spices. They wanted to anoint the body. They wanted to prepare it properly, to make sure it was properly prepared for burial. One last labor of love for their Savior, for their Messiah. And the third thing they came to do was some of them came to linger. Think of Mary Magdalene. The Lord Jesus had transformed her life totally. He cast demons out of her. He brought her out of that place of prostitution, of being a woman of the night, of being a despised woman. He transformed her life. Think of the time when she broke the alabaster bowl and anointed his feet. She just absolutely loved and adored him. Not out of erotic love, no. But she loved him because she knew what he'd done for her. Amen. Why are you smiling, Conrad? Out of absolute love for him. Out of absolute appreciation. And maybe she just wanted to linger there. Maybe she just wanted to remember what he'd done for her. Maybe she just wanted to spend some time worshipping him as she was there at the tomb. Worshipping the dead body, the memory of Christ Jesus. Can we identify this morning with these women? Do we have a desire to come, to look, to see who he is, to know him, to see what he's doing? Do we have a desire like that? Secondly, do we want to shower him with grateful acts of love? They came to labor. Are we willing to labor in the kingdom? Every time we call from this platform and we say, are you willing to come? Glenn stood up this morning and said, are you willing to go and hit the streets with us? Are you willing to spread the gospel message with us? What was your response this morning? Are you willing, like those ladies, to come and do a labor of love for the kingdom? Is it about his kingdom or is it about your kingdom? Amen. And I'm challenging you this morning, church, because we've been sitting too long. And I'll carry on challenging you. Amen. Or do you... have we come and linger in his presence to worship him? And we say, I wish this praise and worship would stop and the dancing was, I want to hear the message, I want to go home. Or do we want to linger in his presence? I'm looking at the clock already. I don't want you to have to leave out too late. But we shouldn't be bothered about that. We should want to linger in the Lord's presence. He's here with us. His presence is here. Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. In the midst of them, we've got an awesome and amazing promise from the Lord this morning about how much he loves us. Do we want to linger like the ladies? So they came to look, to labor, and to linger. And that is my challenge. Are you looking upon the Lord this morning? Are you willing to labor for him? Are you willing to linger in his presence? Secondly, there was the angel that came. And the angel had certain activities that he did. And I read about it. And the real point I want to make is that angel had a very special role. He had the role of removing obstacles. He had the role of removing obstacles as the woman walked towards the grave. As they walked towards the tomb, one of the things they were discussing is, what will we do with a stone? We were just two women. How are we going to roll that stone out the way? Yes, surely the woman couldn't roll the stone. They can do almost everything, but not everything. It sometimes takes an angel. I'm just picking on you. It sometimes takes an angel to roll the stone out of the way. So the first obstacle he removed is he rolled the stone out of the way. And Mark 16 verse 1 says talks about this woman discussing the concern of, what are we going to do with a stone? That stone represented the finality of death. The tomb is closed. Jesus is inside. It's over. That stone said, he's gone forever. That stone said, we can't do this on our own. We can't move it on our own. But the angel came to remove the stone. He came to remove that obstacle. You see, the Lord took care of the stone. The problem was that they thought Jesus was still in there. But whether the stone was there or not, Jesus was gone. He was gone. He'd already been raised. They didn't see him when they didn't see him walk out of the tomb. No. When the angel rolled the stone away, they found an empty tomb. All that was left was the clothes that he was the burial clothes that he was in. So the first obstacle of their faith, that stone of hopelessness, the stone that said, Jesus is dead, there's no more hope, the dream is gone. The angel moved it away. He said, yes, there is still hope. Yes, there is still hope. Look inside there. It's empty. The second obstacle he removed was the soldiers. There were soldiers in the way. Who says they were going to let the woman anywhere near the body? They were there to guard the body. They were there to make sure that nobody stole it away. Why would they let Jesus' disciples go in there? They were there to guard the tomb, to make sure that nobody would mess with it. They'd seal that tombstone with Pilate's seal. It was against the law to try and open it. They posted the guards there to guard the entrance to the tomb. However, these battled, hardened soldiers, they fainted like a bunch of little girls at a rock concert when they saw the angel. It says they fainted in a faint of death. Amen. They fainted. He removed those soldiers out of the way. That was the obstacle of the enemy trying to keep us from drawing near to Jesus. You see, we want to come near to Jesus, but there's a stone in the way sometimes. Sometimes it's what our family says. Sometimes it's peer pressure. Sometimes it's our own lack of faith. The angel came to remove the stone, the obstacle to coming and finding that Jesus is the risen King. He's risen and He wants to live in your life and in my life. The third obstacle He removed, and the greatest obstacle, I believe, is the obstacle of unbelief. You see, what if they'd said, well, the tomb's empty? What if the soldier said, well, we came here this morning, the stone was gone, and the tomb's empty? They wouldn't have believed Him. They would have said, but we saw Him die. We saw them put Him in the tomb. He came to remove the obstacle of unbelief. Because that stone was rolled away, they could walk into that tomb and they could see that it was empty. They could see there was no longer a body there. They knew they were part of the discipleship group. They knew they hadn't touched that body. It removed the obstacle of unbelief. And this morning I want to ask you, church, what are the obstacles that the Lord needs to remove in your life as we remember that first resurrection day? He wants to remove the obstacle of hopelessness. Our life seems to be a mess. The guy preached this morning, he lifted up the report. He says, whose report will you believe? It was a play on words. But we live in a world that's full of hopelessness. Things go wrong. Sickness, politics, the economy, drought, whatever you do. Wherever you look, there's hopelessness. Jesus came to say, but wait, there is hope. I've got a hope and a future for you. It's not about the now. It's not about this which you see. It's about then. It's about the future that lies before you. It's about eternity with me. There's hope. Because I'm the risen Christ. If Jesus was still in the tomb, there would have been no hope. He came to remove the obstacle of hopelessness. Secondly, He came to remove the obstacle of the enemy preventing us from drawing near to Him. He will send His angels and He will move those demons out the way. He will move us dissenting family members out of the way. He will move those who mock you out of the way. And He'll say, come, I've opened the door wide so that you can come and live with me and I will live with you. We will dwell together. He will remove the obstacles for us to have a relationship with Him. And the third obstacle, the obstacle of unbelief. Because we serve the risen Christ. Because there is no body in that grave. If you go to the other graves, you'll still find a body. David spoke about it on Friday morning. Allah is gone. Buddha's gone. It's just a pile of bones. But Jesus is the resurrected Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's there. And we are seated with Him in heavenly places. Do you believe, church? The Lord wants to remind you through Resurrection Sunday that He's alive. He wants to remove the obstacle of unbelief. Are you willing to believe it this morning? Because unless you're willing to believe, you can't partake of any of the promises that we heard this morning. You've got to believe first. You've got to believe first. The angel came and reminded them of some important truths. He reminded them of the fact, first of all, of the past. Jesus had been crucified. They knew that. They'd been there. Mary Magdalene never left. She was the last one to leave and the first one at the tomb in the morning. He reminded them Jesus died. Then he showed them of the present. He reminded them of the present. The present was the fact that the tomb was empty. The risen king was gone. He was out of the tomb. Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He is risen. He reminded them of the promise. The promise was that Jesus had actually told them in the Bible, or their version of the Bible, had forecast this. Jesus said many times, I'm going to die, and after 3 days I'll rise again. I'll rebuild this house in 3 days. They knew it. He had to remind them. But Jesus said, didn't he say that he would rise again? I've come to remind you. He also wanted to remind them of the proof. As they walked in there, they saw the linen. It was laid out in the form of a body. It wasn't unraveled. It wasn't lying all untidy on the floor like Joshua's clothes some mornings. I won't mention Kirsty's or mine. The napkin, the thing that was covering his face, was neatly folded. He supernaturally went out of those clothes. They were still in the form of his body. But somebody folded the napkin. How did he get that right? He reminded them of the miracle that had taken place. The miracle took place. There was proof there that he'd been raised from the dead. If somebody had taken him, if they'd unraveled him, how on earth would they have got those burial clothes back into the shape? Surely they would have run away with him. If the disciples came to faith, they would have run. They would worry about unwrapping him later on. Maybe they wouldn't have even unwrapped him. They would have gone and buried him somewhere else in those same death. But the clothes were there in the tomb. That was proof that he'd been raised from the dead. And then he reminded them of the plan. What was the plan? He said, go and tell the disciples that Jesus is risen. He's alive. And this morning, we need to know that. We need to know that Jesus went to the cross. We need to know that there's an empty tomb. We need to know that there was proof in the tomb that he'd been resurrected supernaturally. And then we need to know that God is talking to us and saying, go and spread the good news. Tell them that Jesus is risen. Amen. Are you still with me, church? I've only been preaching for 10 minutes. I've got another 10, eh? I'll try and do it in 5. So we've seen the ladies or the woman coming to the grave. We've seen the activity of the angel. The third thing that happened was that Jesus himself appeared to those ladies. As the women were going to tell others, Jesus came. And he met with them. And he met them in the way that only Jesus could. The man this morning was saying, you know, if he'd been resurrected from the dead, he would have maybe gone to Caiaphas, the high priest, and said, ah, look. Or he would have gone to Pontius Pilate and said, see, I'm still alive. See, I told the truth. He went to the woman. Women were of disregard. They were counted for nothing. And no insult meant, but that was those days. He went to that which was seen of little importance. He went to them. And he encouraged them. And he gave them words of comfort. He said, see, I am still alive. See, I'm still here. I do still love you. So he went and he comforted them. Isn't that awesome? So if you think you count for nothing this morning, Jesus is saying to you, no, no, no. I care for you. You're important to me. I'm not worried about the big shots. I'm worried about little old you. Little unimportant you. You're important to me. I went to the cross for you. I rose for you. And I love you. This morning, can I hear an amen? Amen. There's not a person here this morning that's not important enough for Jesus Christ. The second thing he did, and isn't this interesting? What did the angels tell them to do? The angel said, go and tell the others. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, go and tell my disciples that I'm risen. Isn't that interesting? Why, twice at his resurrection, was the instruction given, go and tell, go and tell. Because it's of such importance. It's of such importance. Is it important to you, church? I'm asking you this morning, don't sit there and nod your head. Is it important to you? Yes. Amen. Then we need to do something about it. Glenn, I hope you've got 15 people with you. In fact, I hope you've got 50 people with you next Saturday morning. Amen. How important it is for you. It was important enough for Jesus to say to those two ladies, go and tell. Go and tell. And then he did it again when he gave them the Great Commission. So 3 times he said, go and tell. See, it wasn't just for those ladies. It was for all the disciples. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations. So no, you're not excluded. Ladies, men, disciples, you're not excluded. We do not have an excuse. The Lord's calling us to go and tell. Amen. Are we going to stand up and go and tell? He comforted their hearts and confirmed their mission. And then the fourth thing that happened was the soldiers. They got up from the ninny faint. Okay? They got up and they went and told the priests what had happened. And then they were bribed to go and tell another story. To go and tell another story. Do you know that they took their lives in their hands when they were willing to tell that story? Because in all reality, they should have been killed. Remember the jailer when Paul and Silas got up and the doors went open and they had to shout, don't kill yourself, we're still here. Because what was their honor on the line? Why were they willing to do that? They should have fallen on their swords. For some reason they didn't. For some reason they took a bribe and they went and said, Jesus is not alive, he was stolen. And that's what the enemy will do. He will come to you and say, this stuff that you believe, it's not the truth. You don't have an answer to your prayer. Have you ever, are you real like me? Have you ever had that thought? What if it's not real? What if I die and I find out, well, death is death. And there's nothing after death. Who's ever had that thought? Just me. Bunch of liars. But that's the enemy's role. He came to rob, kill, and deceive. And that's exactly what happens. Because where God's busy, enemy's also busy. He will tell a lie. He will lie to you. He will say to you, God has not heard your prayers. Jesus says, I might not have healed you, but I'm with you. I may not bring you through this sickness, but you'll spend eternity with me. Amen. Don't believe the lie of the devil. It's a lie. It's a deception. It's because he doesn't want you to believe the truth. This morning, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, it's a reminder that it's real. It's an empty tomb. Jesus is risen. He's alive. He's alive indeed. Amen. So I managed to get this hour message of mine preached in 15 minutes. Isn't that impressive? Impressive. Today, we remember the events around the tomb. Okay? We remember the women. Some came to look. Some came to labor. Some came to linger. Lord Jesus is calling us to do all three. Let's look upon Him. Let's labor in His kingdom. Let's linger in His presence. Amen? Amen. All right, you're starting to linger now because it's almost 10 to 11. Now I can slow down and minister. Are you willing for me to slow down and minister? Can we linger a little bit? The angel came to remove some obstacles. The first one was the rock of hopelessness. Jesus wants to take away all your hopelessness. There's a risen King seated at the right hand of the Father. He's above all. We're seated with Him. Everything is under our feet. And we have an eternity with Him. The second obstacle is He wants to remove the enemy's forces. The enemy trying to keep the door closed. The enemy trying to prevent us from getting in to meet with Jesus. He's sending His angel to remove the rock so that we can enter in to beautiful relationship with the King of Kings. The third obstacle is the obstacle of unbelief. The resurrection reminds us that there's an empty tomb. There's an empty tomb. There's an empty tomb. Hallelujah! Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, every day is a new day. Hallelujah! And then He reminded them of the past. There's a King that died for us. Of the present. You are here at the tomb, but Jesus isn't. You know what? Sometimes we go to the tomb, we go to our problems, we go to our circumstances, our situations, and that's where we remain. Jesus isn't there. He's risen. He's gone. Sometimes we need to get over the loss of a loved one, but we stay at the graveside. We don't move on. Jesus said, but I've moved on. He's with me in heaven. It's just His body. Move on! Sometimes Jesus delivers us from addiction, from sin, and yet we can't get past it. We can't get past our guilt. We can't get past the fact that we're such a vile sinner. Jesus said, I've moved on. I've forgiven you. I've raised. You're seated with me. Come on. Come and sit with me. come and have the victory that I've put in place for you. He wants to move that. And He wants to remind you of the promise. The promise was that He would rise, of the proof that tomb was empty, and of the plan, go and tell others about me. Jesus met them personally. He wants to comfort you personally today. And He was reminding us to go and tell others about Jesus. But the enemy wants to rob you. The enemy wants to even take the message you've heard this morning and steal it from you. Are you going to let him? Amen. Before we close today, I don't believe I'm going to do an altar call. I believe the Lord has spoken to you this morning. Can I get an amen? Are you all right with that? If you want me to pray with you this morning, you're welcome to come once we close the service. Because we've got one more very exciting thing to do. Well, not exciting, very sad thing to do. But before that, I want to close in prayer. And then I want us to pray for Jerry and Helen. Jerry, will you go and fetch Helen for us? And your little ones? Let's just close in prayer. Let's stand. Hallelujah. As we do that, I'm not going to give the microphone. I'm going to ask two people to volunteer to pray. One man, one lady. I want you to pray out loud. The lady first. Let's close our eyes. And will one lady just pray in response to the message we've heard this morning. Sing a song as we wait for them to come.